chapter summary.
Although Bharat Maharaj was very elevated, he fell down due to his attachment to a young deer. One day, after Bharat Maharaj had taken his bath as usual in the river Gandaki and was chanting his mantra, he saw a pregnant deer come to the river to drink water. Suddenly, there could be heard the thundering roar of a lion, and the deer was so frightened that it immediately gave birth to its calf. It then crossed the river, but died immediately thereafter. Maharaj Bharata took compassion upon the motherless calf, rescued it from the water, took it to his ashram, and cared for it affectionately. He gradually became attached to this young deer and always thought of it affectionately. As it grew up, it became Maharaj Bharata's constant companion, and he always took care of it. Gradually, he became so absorbed in thinking of this deer that his mind became agitated. As he became more and more attached to the deer, his devotional service slackened. Although he was able to give up his opulent kingdom, he became attached to the deer. Thus, he fell down from his mystic yoga practice. Once, when the deer was absent, Maharaj Bharata was so disturbed that he began to search for it. While searching and lamenting the deer's absence, Maharaj Bharata fell down and died. Because his mind was fully absorbed in thinking of the deer, he naturally took his next birth from the womb of a deer. However, because he was considerably advanced spiritually, he did not forget his past activities, even though he was in the body of a deer. He could understand how he had fallen down from his exalted position, and remembering this, he left his mother deer and again went to Balaha Ashram. He finally ended his fruitive activities in the form of a deer. When he died, he was released from the deer's body. Okay? So, these verses are all prose here. So, we'll read the first few verses because there's very short purports or no purports for the next few verses. So, Shishukuvache Gadatu Mahanajam Kutavisheka Naikamika Vashako Brahmaksharam Abhigurnanu Muhurtu Triamuda Kanta Upavivesha. Actually, the first one we give you word synonyms. Shishukuvacha. Shishukadeva Goswami said, Ekata, once upon a time, to, but, Mahadajam, in the great river known as Gandaki, Krita Abhisheka Nayamika Avashyakaha. Having taken a bath after finishing the daily external duties, such as passing stool and urine and brushing his teeth, Brahma Aksharam, the Pranava Mantra Om, Abhigrinanaha, chanting Muhurta Trayam for 3 minutes. Udaka Ante on the bank of the river. Upavivesha, he sat down. So, translation, Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, one day, after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating, and bathing, Maharaja Bharata sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes and began chanting his mantra beginning with Omkara. So you can repeat, Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued.
My dear king,
one day after finishing his morning duties, evacuating, urinating, and bathing, Maharaj Bharata sat down on the bank of the river Gandaki for a few minutes,
and
began chanting his mantra,
beginning with Omkara.
So there's no text here, because the mantra beginning with the Omkara is the Gayatri mantra. First line, the Brahma Gayatri. So we'll continue reading. Text 2. Tatra tada rajan harani pipasaya jalashaya vyasam sham ikaivopa jagama. O king, while Bharat Maharaj was sitting on the bank of that river, a doe, being very thirsty, came there to drink.
Triya pipi yavana udake tavad eva vidurena nadatum rigapater unado loka bayankara udapatat.
While the doe was drinking with great satisfaction, a lion, which was very close, roared very loudly. This was frightful to every living entity, and it was heard by the doe. Text 4.
Tamupa shrutya sa mrigavadu prakriti viklava chakita irikshana sutanam apihare boya vinivesha vyagra vrdeya pari plava drishtir agata trisha boyat sahasa evo chakrama.
By nature, the doe was always afraid of being killed by others, and it was always looking about suspiciously. When it heard the lion's tumultuous roar, it became very agitated, looking here and there with disturbed eyes. The doe, although it had not fully satisfied itself by drinking water, suddenly leaped across the river. Text 5.
Tasha patancha antarvatnya nu urubayava galadito yoni nirgato garba shrotasi nipapata.
The doe was pregnant, and when it jumped out of fear, the baby deer fell from its womb into the flowing waters of the river. So Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport, there is every chance of a woman's having a miscarriage if she experiences some ecstatic emotion or is frightened. Pregnant women should therefore be spared from all these external influences. Maybe they shouldn't chant Hare Krishna either, if I'm too ecstatic. So, text 6.
Tat prasavot sarpana bhoya kedatura swaganena aviyujamana kashanchit daryam krishna sarasati nipapatata cha mamara.
Being separated from its flock and distressed by its miscarriage, the black doe, having crossed the river, was very much distressed. Indeed, it fell down in a cave and died immediately. Text
7. Tantvena kunakam kripanam shrotasanu yomanam abhivikshapavidham bandurivanu kampaya rajashir varata adaya mrita mataram ityashrama param anayat.
The great King Bharata, while sitting on the bank of the river, saw the small deer bereft of its mother floating down the river. Seeing this, he felt great compassion. Like a sincere friend, he lifted the infant deer from the waves and, knowing it to be motherless, brought it to his ashram. And Srila Prabhupada speaks here in the purport, a sizable purport.
The laws of nature work in subtle ways unknown to us. Maharaj Bharata was a great king, very advanced in devotional service. He had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord, but even from that platform, he could fall down onto the material platform.
In the Bhagavad Gita, we are therefore warned. Yam hi navyatayan chete purusham purusharshava samaduka sukham dhiram somritavaya kalpate.
O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation.
It's from the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, text 15.
Spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause one to fall down again into material existence. By studying the activities of Maharaj Bharata, we can learn the art of becoming completely freed from all material attachment. As it will be revealed in later verses, Bharat Maharaj had to accept the body of a deer due to being overly compassionate for this infant deer. We should be compassionate by raising one from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Otherwise, in any moment, our spiritual advancement may be spoiled, and we may fall down onto the material platform. Maharaj Bharata's compassion for the deer was the beginning of his fall down into the material world.
Heavy. So, Om Gana Timidanda Sha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuddha Meditam Gena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
So, as we mentioned yesterday in class, Bharat Maharaj was on the platform of Bhava. The descriptions of Bhava, at least the Ashta Sattvika descriptions, were given previously in the previous chapter. And he was definitely experiencing, extreme emotions in Krishna consciousness. But also, as we mentioned, quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that even when one is on Bhava, the anarthas are not absolutely gone. They are gone, they're completely gone, but not absolutely gone. And I have explained, for those of you who may not remember what I said, completely gone means you have no more anarthas, but absolutely gone means they can still come back. It's something like New Orleans. That's an interesting example. That during normal times, there was no water in the city. But because the levees, the dams, not really dams. A dam is something different than when you dam up a river. A levee is a special word that means something that surrounds the city, because the city is below sea level. Just like Amsterdam is also below sea level. Did you know that? That's where the little Dutch boy comes from. Ever heard of the little Dutch boy? He stuck his finger in the dam to keep the... you ever heard of that? And he couldn't leave, and he died with his finger in the dam. Anyway, so... poor guy. So, if you... So I used to fly like KLM a lot, and then you'd fly over Amsterdam, and you see it was below sea level. And they grow all these nice flowers there. But they have an elaborate system of levees or dams around the city there. So in the same way, let's go back to New Orleans. I'm more familiar with that. Everything was dry, but because the levees were not high enough, as soon as Katrina came, and recently had another hurricane too, as soon as Katrina came, then the levees overflooded, and the city was a bowl. It's actually below it's below sea level. So then it just filled up. And all the pumps were actually waterlogged, too. Many of the pumps were waterlogged, so it took, like, weeks to get the city back. It's still not back to normal. I mean, there's certain sections of the city that are not back to normal. So... now, of course, they built up the levees, and they're thinking, not even God can flood the city. That's like the Titanic. When they launched the Titanic, they said, not even God could sink the ship. Of course, God took that as a challenge. If you challenge God, he may meet that challenge and say, okay, here you go. So the Titanic sunk on the maiden voyage. So... getting back to the point, so even though New Orleans was free from water, it still was not absolutely free. It still could be flooded.
So that's the same thing as the platform of Bhava. Now, on the platform of Prema, because it's also mentioned here in the verse that he had not, and actually in the purport, he had not yet reached, he had almost reached the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord. So it's interesting, loving service to the Supreme Lord here in the purport is understood by Prabhupada to be the platform of Prema. That's where one is completely, you know, anya bilashita shunyam jnanakarma anavritam anukulyena krishnanam shilanam bhakti rutamam, devoid of any other desire other than to please the senses of the Lord, and devoid even of the desire for liberation. So, Bhart Maharaj was not on the platform of Prema. He was on Bhava. This is also interesting for us, too, because I don't think there's anyone in this room that's on the platform of Bhava, what to speak of Prema. And probably not too many people on the platform of Nishta. Maybe a few on the platform of Bhajana Kriya. And maybe a lot more on the platform of Sadhu Sangota. And some people are just like Ado Shraddha. You know, they're a little interested in Krishna consciousness. So Bhart Maharaj was on a very elevated platform, the platform that we have not experienced at this particular juncture. Because on the platform of Bhava, when you Gauranga Valite Havi Pulaka Sharira, I mean, when you hear Lord Chaitanya's name mentioned and the hair stand on end, and I can try that with all of you. Gauranga. Gauranga. That didn't work like that. And I remember sometimes when we were in Atlanta with Jayapataka Maharaj, and he would chant Gauranga loud, and I never saw anyone's hair stand on end. They would respond, Gauranga! Or like when we're in Vrindavan with Dina Bandhu, Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai! You know, so yeah, that's how he does it. Anyone's heard Dina Bandhu do that? Some of you might have heard that. I mean, he's really a Vrajabasi. And I've never seen anyone's hair stand on end, so... Basically, I mean, the only person I've seen on a very high platform, well, I don't want to criticize anyway, forget it, I'm not going to go there. So, but at least with Prabhupada, I saw Prabhupada, you know, tears come from Prabhupada's eyes. When I was with Prabhupada, and he'd be chanting or preaching, you could see like tears coming from Prabhupada's eyes. You know, ecstatic symptoms manifest in the body. I mean, Prabhupada was trying to keep them down, obviously. But you could see that, like, I remember sitting behind Prabhupada while he was chanting Jai Radhamadhava. That was my favorite spot to sit behind Prabhupada. One may say, why? Because if you sat at Prabhupada and you looked at Prabhupada, he would look at you and then you'd feel all guilty. You know, like he had his, like, x-ray vision, you know, he'd look right through you. I was thinking, I don't want Prabhupada to look at me. I want to look at him. So I would always sit behind Prabhupada. And I would watch him play. I remember, you know, very clearly watching him play Jai Radhamadhava. And he played very... I mean, the way he held the cartels was interesting. And the way he moved his hands, like that. I mean, even that was an ecstatic symptom. It was like poetry in motion. You know, like... Transcendental dance, basically. You know, when I was young, my mother used to make me go to see ballet dancing, and it was so obnoxious. There was no ecstasy or happiness in it. It was just some bodies moving around. What? No, I didn't. To see ballet. I never did ballet. Don't offend me. So... Next thing I know, you'll be asking for a picture of it. So, but when you saw Prabhupada, it was like the most exquisite choreographed symptoms of ecstasy you've ever seen. I mean, his ears, his whole visage, that means the face, and, you know, tears would be coming down. I mean, like I said, Prabhupada would try to keep them from happening. And then, of course, there's the stories that when Prabhupada was in Caracas in Atlanta, he went into trance. When the devotees sang this Paramakaranu Bahu Dvijana Nitai Gaura Chan, And then devotees had to chant, and then Prabhupada was apologetic that he went into trance. I mean, that also shows freedom from false ego. You know, if any one of us went into trance, I said, what do you think of my trance there the other day? Wasn't it cool? You know, I went into trance, you know. You know, we're always fishing for praise. Isn't it? You know, when someone's fishing, we're fishing for praise. Oh, can I have a certificate for the book distribution? You know. What about me? You know. Here. Anyway, so. Actually, I didn't distribute any books. So, I'm not pious. So, anyway, so that's actually Krishna Prema. But the. In Krishna Prema, like it's like the material elements, earth, water, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. When you go to the grosser elements, all the aspects of the subtler elements are present. You know, like the sound in ether is present in earth, too. So in the same way, when you get to Prema, you get all the good qualities of the previous aspects of devotional service are present, and especially the bhava. The bhava is the ingredients of Prema. They're actually the ingredients. The bhava along... with the ras, the taste, actually is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, mixed together is the ingredients of prema. Mm. And prema is more solidified. Or, as Lord Chaitanya gives the example, it's like cooking sugar cane juice. It becomes thick, thicker, 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 and finally it's like rock candy. So rock candy is like prema. So, anyway, so on the platform of bhava, which none of us are at, or maybe some of you are, forgive me, then one can fall down. On prema, you can't. So in bhava, you have to be extremely cautious about anarthas. And as we've described many times before, you have to know where the anarthas come from. It's a fact. Just like the other day, the devotees were complaining they have mice in their house. So the first thing is, where are they coming from? Right? I mean, it's one thing like to capture them. You know, one person said, you know, I'm getting these little nice mouse boxes or something, 3 for $1. I forget how expensive they were. Anyone's gotten them? So anyway, and then you'd send them somewhere else. But you spend the rest of your life taking mice out and dropping them off 5 miles away. So you're basically it's you should find out where the mice are coming into the house. You know, they have to come in somewhere. They don't they can't telepath, you know, or teleport into the house, you know, beam me up, mouse. You understand, like Scotty. So they can't beam into the house. So in the same way, you have to find out where the anarthas are coming from. Mm. And, you know, what do they say? Prevention is better than cure. And so anarthas, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, come from 4 different locations. These are the holes that they enter into. They come from sinful activity, pious activity. That's a big one. Here's it. This is what's being described here. Pious activity, sinful activity, offenses against Vaishnavas, or offenses in general, and the byproducts of bhakti. So let's analyze this situation with Maharaj Bharata. Maharaj Bharata's the anartha of thinking himself, it wasn't bad that he actually, you know, saved the poor little deer. You know, that would have actually been very bad had he just said, well, that's the deer's karma. Let him die. Bye-bye, deer. Bye-bye, deer. Anyway, that's interesting. You could say to your wife when you go to work, bye-bye, deer. So that would have also been bad. You know, sometimes people think that, like, absolute negativity towards... compassion is actually Krishna consciousness. Like the devotees with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when they were in Vrindavan or Mayapur, they refused to give anything to the beggars there. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, you think you're so good and so advanced in devotional service, your heart is just going to become hard by doing that. So that's also an anartha, to neglect someone who needs help. You know, so if a devotee sees someone who's about getting run over by a car, you don't try to save them. You're thinking, I'm a devotee, and that's false pride. And that, anyway, it's offensive. So it's a fine line. So it's not wrong that Bharat Maharaj saved the deer. What happened later was the problem. And his consciousness was the problem. That he was thinking he was the protector of the deer. Just like Krishna says in the Gita, in the fifth chapter of the Gita, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suridam Sarvabuddhanam, that I'm the friend of all living entities. So if you're usurping Krishna's position, you're thinking, I'm the friend of this deer. I'm the protector, I'm the maintainer. And then he becomes codependent with the deer. You can imagine being codependent with the deer. So we've seen that happen with people, with animals. So anyway, so Bharat Maharaj's anarthas, they were coming from, first of all, from several different places. First of all, the byproducts of bhakti, because he was thinking himself more advanced. He was thinking, like Prabhupada said, one should be cautious, devotional service like a razor's edge. And so he became, he lost his caution. He was thinking, you know, I'm experiencing bhava, I'm properly situated, devotional service. Or as Prabhupada also said, you Western boys and girls are not enough afraid of Maya. You're not afraid of Maya. So Bharat Maharaj was not a Western boy or a girl. He was from India, but he wasn't afraid of Maya either. And you find that with people. Also, I mean, that applies all over the world. People from India, people from the West, they're not enough afraid of Maya. I mean, we've had a Pujari before, he would watch Bollywood films on a regular basis. And people just not afraid of how Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasa Janma Jonishu, how the modes of nature are going to affect your consciousness. We should be fearful. Prabhupada even said, the reason, you know, being humble, the reason I don't fall down is because I'm always afraid. I'm always praying to Krishna to protect me. Of course, Prabhupada, obviously, he's on the platform of prema. There's no question of falling down. But still, on the platform, one is on the platform of prema, exhibits extreme humility. Humility is actually one of the prices you have to pay for pure devotional service. It's hard to be humble. So Prabhupada said he was praying like that. I'm praying all the time. You know, Krishna, I shouldn't fall down. And Krishna, Prabhupada's not going to fall down. So that's the point. Bharat Maharaj, that's one of the causes of Bharat Maharaj's anarthas, is that Bharat Maharaj was thinking himself very advanced because he was experiencing this bhava. So that's one of the things. Another cause, there's two of them, is pious activities. We described before, one can fall down or cultivate anarthas, or anarthas can enter through sinful activities and also pious activities. Sinful activities is really easy to understand. Obviously, if you're smoking ganja or eating meat, I mean, obviously that's going to drag you away from Krishna consciousness because it's going to put you in the mode of ignorance. But pious activities also, because they're also binding to this world. And not only binding, with pious activities, one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. And Krishna explains in the Gita that the mode of goodness binds one to this world because one becomes attached to a sense of happiness in this world. I mean, just like yesterday, it was sunny. You know, North Carolina's nice and sunny a lot. It's not like merry old England, which Prabhupada said, we were talking about this yesterday. Prabhupada said, England, the sun never rises in England, in the British Empire anymore, because the British Empire is just one little island. It used to be all over the world, but now it's just one island. And even in Fiji, they're taking the queen off of the Fijian dollar now. Big, big scandal. So anyway, yesterday it was sunny. All right. So I thought, well, let me get some sun. So I was out there in the sun and, you know, chanting Hare Krishna too. It's not that I just said, what is it? What is that song? Let the sun in or something like that. Here comes the sun. You know, here comes the sun. Da, 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 da. Here comes the sun. It's all right. Da, 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 da. Of course, that sun in that song was referring to Krishna. So I was in the sun and I said, this is so nice. The sunshine, wow, it's just warming up my body. You know, sun. And so there's like a mode of goodness thing, isn't it? Appreciating. I didn't think of Surya Narayan. Like we were discussing the Gayatri Mantra 2 days ago. How Surya Narayan, actually the sun god is a manifestation of Narayan. Surya Narayan, that's what we chant the first line of the Gayatri. So I wasn't thinking of Krishna. I was thinking, it's so nice. And it was just like warm and fuzzy. Not fuzzy, but it was warm. And so that's the mode of goodness, you know. So I wasn't thinking I was in Maya, but I was. You understand? So that's how pious activity, mode of goodness, is very bewildering. I was in Maya getting sunshine, chanting Hare Krishna. So it's not that you shouldn't get sunshine and you shouldn't chant Hare Krishna. That's not the point, but the consciousness was thinking, this is so nice. You see how it's a really fine line between Krishna and Maya? Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being out there in the sun. It's good for your health. And there's nothing wrong with chanting Hare Krishna. It's good for your health too. But the consciousness was thinking, this is so nice. I mean, immediately, you know, that's the Maya. You know, because in the material world, you know, that happiness and distress, you know, what is it? Matras, Barshas, Dukandiya, Siddhoshna, Sukhatukata. One has to see them equally. One has to become Samadarshi. Or sometimes when it's real cold out, we turn the warm water on in the shower. I hate to tell you that. Then think, oh, this is so comfortable. So, you know, So in other words, you have to be really alert for that mode of goodness or the comfort of this world. You know, I feel so comfortable in this body right now. Oh, that heater works so nice. It's nice and comfortable. That's all right. I'm not saying turn off the heater. But as soon as one starts to think, this is comfortable. This is a nice bed, you know. Oh, a nice futon or a nice... or a nice, what is that, space age foam that conforms to your body. It's like someone said the other day, we're going to get you a bed with space age foam. And as soon as you start to think, it's not wrong to do those things. See, that's the fine line. Like, it's not wrong for Bharat Maharaj to save the deer, but it's the consciousness. Try to understand that. It's the consciousness that's the problem. Not so much the activity. I mean, later on the activity became a problem when he was kissing the deer and everything. You don't want to start kissing deer, you know, so they have all sorts of diseases. So, but it's not the caring for an animal that is wrong. I mean, look at Shivananda Sen, he was caring for a dog, right? That dog was following him to Jagannath Puri, and he was caring for the dog. Later on, that dog got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was feeding the dog, too. It's not the Lord Chaitanya said, it's a dog! Get this dog out of here! You know, Lord Chaitanya was caring for the dog, too. Feeding him this coconut pulp, and the dog was doing something unusual dogs don't do, you know, standing on his hind legs and chanting Hare Krishna, and playing cartels, you know. I don't know if he's playing cartels. But, so the point, it's not the activities so much, but it's what you're conscious of, your enjoying spirit, thinking, so his enjoying spirit, Bharat Maharaj's enjoying spirit, is that he was thinking himself the protector of this deer. This deer is dependent on me. Not understanding, ultimately, it's Krishna's protecting. Yes, do what you have to do, but don't be attached to it like that. So So that's really the point, the important point I wanted to make about this, is it's really the consciousness. So you have to watch your consciousness all the time. Why are you doing what you're doing? What do you think you are in relationship to your service? I mean, just like one could be doing deity service and being in complete maya, because if they think of themselves as the best dresser in the world, or they're doing it to show off. So it's interesting. Consciousness, what you have to watch, because Prabhupada said, devotional, and Lord Kapiladeva said, devotional service is executed with the subtle body. The gross body, we engage in Krishna service, but the subtle body is the thing that really is the hardest thing to control. So, anyway, so that's the point. So, Bharat Maharaj, he didn't watch the source or the sources of the anarthas well enough. He wasn't aware of that. And also, as I mentioned many times before, he didn't have association there. That's another big point. That Bharat Maharaj was by himself, and he had no one to correct him. He had nobody or mentor. He didn't employ the mentor system. He had no mentors. His mentor was his mind. So Prabhupada also gave that example that when we're with other devotees, it's like many sticks together, it can't be broken. And when we're by ourselves, one stick can easily be broken. So Bharat Maharaj could have avoided this whole thing. Had he had some other devotee there, the other devotee would have just corrected him immediately. Said, Bharat Prabhu, don't you think it's not so auspicious for you to kiss this deer? And Bharat Maharaj would have listened. So anyway, so these are some of the points. We got about 3 minutes left to class. Any questions or comments? Yeah.
I was very focused on when Narada Muni was telling him you should go to Jagannath Puri.
Yeah.
And then Uddhava gave his opinion that, if you go to Jagannath Puri, there's going to be all kinds of festivals and kirtans and all kinds of things happen, and you know, get really blissful in your heart. And that bliss will keep you from achieving Goloka Vrindavan.
Yeah, well, that's also applicable on the spiritual plane, too. That when one wants to achieve Goloka Vrindavan and one becomes too attached to the opulence, then that becomes an impediment. But that's something different. That's not actually an anartha.
Yeah, you said that.
It's not an anartha. It's just like after one transcends anarthas, you know, in prema, then, as one is trying to go to a higher and higher platform, reach Goloka Vrindavan, if one comes attached to the vaidhi aspects, you know, the regulations, rather than the purpose behind the regulations, then that can be an impediment. But that's not an artha specifically. Yeah, that's true. But that's not an anartha. That's something that anartha means something you don't want, something that impedes you from progressing spiritually. But even after you've progressed spiritually, there are certain impediments that can keep you from reaching Goloka Vrindavan, which is attachment. Like Lakshmi, for example. Lakshmi is, I mean, I would like to have Lakshmi, but not the lady Lakshmi, but some of her energy. So, to build a temple. So, like Lakshmi is attached to her opulent position. You know, she doesn't want to dress like a coward girl. You know, it's just like you meet a, let's say some famous Hollywood star actress who has all this jewelry all over her body and everything like that, and she likes it. There's nothing wrong with it. But she's not going to dress like a simple coward maiden. And so Lakshmi is attached to this opulent position. And even though she executes austerities for many millions of years, she can't enter into the mood of the gopis because of that attachment. So even Lakshmi has that sort of, I wouldn't say it's impediment, you know, but it's a pastime type of thing. So don't wear a lot of jewelry. Give your gold to some sannyasi who can sell it and build a temple. All right.
On that happy note.